It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan pleaded not guilty yesterday to charges of obstructing a federal agency and concealing a person from immigration officers.
A group of protesters gathered outside the courthouse calling for dismissal of charges. Here's Voces de la Frontera Executive Director Christine Newman-Ortiz at that gathering.
We know this is not just about one judge. It's an intimidation tactic. It's a disgusting spectacle of authoritarianism that's directed to all judges in this country.
Dugan's lawyers have also filed a motion to dismiss the charges, arguing that the case is unconstitutional.
John Diedrich has been covering the Dugan case. He's an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
You were at Dugan's appearance in federal court this week. Talk us through very short, I understand, but a lot went on there.
Yeah, so she did appreciate the clip. She did enter a plea. That's very standard at this point. They also set out the dates for the trial. These will probably change most likely, but right now the trial date's set for the 21st of July. She's due back in court on July 9th. But as you mentioned, there's this motion, though, that's out there, and that's really going to probably be the beginning of the whole process. Is her team is pushing for consideration, arguing that this is an illegal prosecution, and pushing for that motion to be ruled on right away.
Let's talk about that motion. If this motion carried and went through, and I imagine it could probably be appealed, but if it's ultimately successful, that means no trial, right? The not guilty plea doesn't matter. The trial never happens if this motion to dismiss is ultimately successful. Do I have that right?
So if it does, you know, but like you say, an appeal is likely. So we've got several levels. We're at the magistrate level right now. Then we have a district court level that's also in Milwaukee. Ultimately, it seems likely, talking to observers and legal experts, that this will end up at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, no matter how it goes, because the side that loses, it seems at this point, is likely to appeal.
Now, a not guilty plea on top of that motion to dismiss. What are we at a stage where in either of those, the motion to dismiss or the not guilty plea, Dugan's lawyers are saying why? They're making their legal argument for either or both of those things.
Yeah, so what they're saying is that in the immunity plea or in the immunity motion, they're saying the motion to dismiss, there's immunity as a judge. So what happened just briefly is on April 18th, Judge Dugan escorted a defendant who was in court and his attorney out a door, which is not normally used by the public. The allegation by the government is this was an effort to elude justice. Their argument from the defense is that this is normal. Judges control their court. Room and what doors people go in and out of and so forth. And so they're saying that she has immunity for what she did in court that day. And also that the feds are federal prosecutors are overreaching, that they're getting into areas of what is delegated to states' rights under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. And so the backstory here really is that this is a major legal fight brewing. I mean, Judge Dugan has four law firms, representing her at some level. There's seven attorneys of record. That's Steve Biskupic, the former U.S. attorney who incidentally was appointed by a Republican, and also Paul Clement, the former U.S. Solicitor General. So she has a very high power team. It certainly does not appear as though anything other than a long fight looms ahead.
You wrote some about the tone in the courtroom during, again, this brief appearance. We might imagine a super confrontational, but that's not what you saw there.
No, sometimes I think from the outset you see the public statements, and certainly there's a lot out there. There was a lot happening in front of the courthouse yesterday with demonstrators, as you alluded to. But inside, it was very collegial. I mean, acting U.S. attorney Richard Froehling, he actually worked for Biskupic under George W. Bush, so they know each other very well. Mr. Froehling, greeted all the members of the team. It was polite and even pleasant. And the backdrop is, yes, it is super serious on a number of levels. But the demeanor in court certainly was, there were pleasantries exchanged for sure.
Talking to John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's covering the case of Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan facing federal charges. This is unusual John, this is not something we see all the time. The feds prosecuting a state judge. You've been looking into some, looking for some comparable cases around the country. What did you see? How rare is this?
Well, it is. And that's very well put. Rare, like maybe the second of its time in modern history. There was a case in the first Trump administration against a Massachusetts judge. The circumstances are similar. There are some differences, but they actually are pretty remarkably similar. A state judge there in Massachusetts who was charged with helping a undocumented immigrant elude federal immigration officers. Ultimately, that's Judge Shelley Joseph. Ultimately, her case played out a little bit differently. She was not arrested, as Judge Dugan was in the courthouse, but was ordered in. But ultimately, that case was dismissed after Joe Biden was elected president and a new U.S. attorney was in place. But some of the same issues that came up are coming up there. There was an immunity claim at that point. There were constitutional claims that were made. So similar. But ultimately, those were not ruled upon because the case was dismissed before they could have. But really, it's only those. Now, just to be clear, judges do get charged with things. I mean, taking bribes and, you know, assaults and all sorts of manner of things. But what this is alleging is that the judge, in the normal course of their duty, broke federal law, you know, like in their courtroom, on the record, doing what they do as judges. That is highly unusual, too, in modern U.S. history.
We heard from that protest outside there, the connection being made between this case and arguments that the Trump administration and other Republicans are intimidating judges. Now, again, in the limited time in the courtroom, do you get a sense that people are looking over their shoulder at that wider conversation, or is this really narrow, this case, the particulars, the laws involved?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting question. I think the lens really matters who you are and sort of the politics in this. I spoke to a number of judges. You know, some would say, hey, like this was a particular fact set that isn't likely to happen again. And, you know, really focusing on the actions. But I think there is, depending on who the judge is and sort of where they sit, there is some second guessing, you know, of what's going on in the courtroom. And because in Milwaukee County, as well in other courtrooms, federal officials, those federal immigration officers are coming into court. What they're doing is they are matching cases of people who are in the U.S., they say illegally, and they're in the courthouse for some reason. And so that sort of sense is creating some sense of, I would say, dis-ease among some judges in that way. I would also say that there is, you know, the way this case is read really depends. I mean, I'm getting emails from people. It's almost like they're not talking about the same case. It just really is highlighting a lot of polarization. And I should also say that there's a number of readers that I'm hearing from who see some of both. They actually do see, you know, some of the nuance and some of the in-between, you know, in this case, which is fascinating and has grabbed such national attention here.
With the charges involved, if the case goes to trial, if Judge Dugan is found guilty, potentially, what are the punishments possible in charges like this?
Yeah, so there's two counts, as you alluded. One's a felony, one's a misdemeanor. Together, 6 years of exposure. Unlikely, that just at the outset, and that's only if she were convicted on both counts. But it is highly unlikely for somebody like Judge Dugan, who's a first-time nonviolent offender in federal court, to receive that sort of time. But, you know, it does happen. And there are white collar. That's what this case is called, sort of in shorthand. These kinds of cases sometimes result in time behind bars. You know, the trial judge is Judge Adelman. He used to be a Democratic state senator, as some listeners will recall. So, you know, where that's getting way down the road. But yeah, that is the exposure that she would have in this case.
And, of course, we can't predict. There are so many possible twists and turns along the way. Is there any thought that there might be a plea deal reached? Does either side appear to be floating the idea of, hey, let's just resolve this before we go through all this rigmarole?
That does not appear to be the case. Of all the uncertainty in now, just again, from the outside, and both teams are not really talking much. They're talking more through their, you know, filings and so forth. But all indications at this point seem to be a, you know, a big fight without discussion of a plea deal. The state, main justice in Washington is involved with this. The FBI director tweeted on this case, so it has very high visibility back to Washington. And then just looking at Judge Dugan's team, I mean, she has a remarkable legal team. I mean, I was talking with some folks yesterday. I cannot recall a local case that had so many, high-powered lawyers attached to it. So at this point, things could change. It could change quickly. But at this point, it certainly does not seem that a resolution such as a plea agreement are in the works.
All right, a big legal team there. Now, John, you're in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is your beat. Of course, you're at this trial. Are you seeing some of our colleagues in the national media showing up at key moments in this trial? Is it getting that level of national attention?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yesterday in the courtroom, there were 30, I don't know everybody who's a reporter. I have a pretty good sense in time.
But you have reporter DAR, the radar for reporters.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Most of the people in the gallery of about 30 people were reporters. We had a couple sketch artists in court because there's no cameras, of course. Outside, lots of media, for the indictment when we were there, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. Everybody is looking at this because of the unusual nature of it, and also it feels like an important moment. Now, the conflict that the Trump administration has with the judges works on a couple different levels. Some are like what's before the Supreme Court. That's over the rulings. And then this feels a little bit different, but it's being sort of like brought together as an overall a template. So, to your question, yes, lots of national media attention. And the court staff has not seen this sort of attention in the federal courthouse in downtown Milwaukee in a long time. So there's some sort of extraordinary things that they're trying to plan for a trial that could take a week. That's what the U.S. attorney said yesterday. And it would be highly covered if that trial does come to pass.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's John Diedrich, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to us about the Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan's ongoing court case and watching for the next milestones in that case.